Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Parimala again, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call. Mr. Vijay Thadani of NIIT Limited is your call leader today. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode. After the presentation, the Q&A session will be conducted for participants connected to Thinkers. After that, the Q&A session will be conducted for participants in India. I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Thadani of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to Mr. Thadani.
Thank you, Parimala. Good evening, and welcome to the quarterly results call. Thank you for joining us here. I'm going to quickly introduce you to the people around. That is Rajeev Pawar, the chairman of the company, P. Rajendran, chief operating officer, and Chetna Kullar, who is the investment relations manager. I will take about 15 minutes to take you through some broad outlines of our results this quarter, and then I'll open it up for question and answers. Just to get into the highlights of the quarter, before I do that, as usual, I would like to just describe the industry environment that we encountered and then get on to what our responses were. So I look at our market predominantly as India, China, and while I call it global, it is predominantly US at this point of time. So in India, we saw a marked improvement in sentiment for IT careers. I think there has been a lot of press coverage on how IT industry is growing, how outsourcing industry is growing, and how some large contracts are coming the way of India. So we saw the benefit of that in the sentiment and positive consumer sentiment, with better quality students opting for IT careers this time. We saw more of this in metros than in smaller towns, but that is very normal to expect because these things percolate down to smaller towns over a few quarters. The second was that the newer courses that we had launched, especially the industry involved GNIIT and the short-term certification courses in new technology areas, these are attracting more and more students. There is a large requirement from IT services industry for quality people, and we saw many more placement requests this quarter. In China, there has been a focused approach, which we can see, where the whole system is in unison to create a large base of IT trained manpower. And there is a focused approach to make IT education as a part of the mainline university education system. On one hand, on the other hand, more and more software professionals are looking at higher end skills such as project management, process management, quality management. We saw that in the environment as well. Globally, what we see is that outsourcing training or learning or customer training by organizations is becoming a larger reality, primarily driven by cost reduction, but I think a newer thing which we saw was with new technology announcements coming up for most of the large companies, global rollouts is becoming an interesting part where NIIT can play in. And we also saw that e-learning, especially hybrid e-learning, was showing a greater demand. So at the back of this, our business, I think, had a very strong volume-led and efficiency-led growth. We had a 12% year-on-year growth in system-wide revenues, which are up at 2.08 billion rupees. We had actually a much better quarterly growth, 23% quarter-on-quarter growth, though I must point out that given the seasonal business, a 20-odd percent quarterly growth is normal between these two quarters. Operating profit grew at 25% year-on-year, which is actually a compounding effect of the top-line growth multiplied by better operating margin, which improved by 146 basis points year-on-year and was at 14.1%. Impact of all this on the bottom line was profit after tax at 132 million rupees for the quarter, which was up 12% year-on-year. In terms of businesses, if I go down to the next level of detail, the business mix has changed a little in this quarter. Well, actually, a little more than little. The individual business has been the predominant contributor to the growth, with 58% of the business coming from individual individual learning part of the business. System-wide revenue in this business grew 27% year-on-year, followed by corporate, which is now 28% of the total business, and there the net business grew by 15% year-on-year. In the six-month period, therefore, if I see at each business level, individuals' system-wide revenue has grown at 22% and corporate at about 6% in terms of the overall system-wide revenue. I want to point this out because in the previous quarters I have been talking about the fact that the individual business should track the growth of the IT services industry, and I think with acceleration being seen in each quarter, this quarter we can say on a quarter-on-quarter basis at least, or a quarter-quarter basis at least, the business is tracking the IT services industry pretty well with 27% year-on-year growth. But we think that the potential is to go a little beyond this as well, and we hope that we would be able to do that in the coming quarters. Within the individual business, India contributed 20% growth, which is 20%, the India business grew by 20%, and China grew by 24% year-on-year. In the corporate business, the growth basically was little lower than what we saw in overall terms, but fairly good with major wins in India and Europe. Going down to some more level of detail in the individual business, the most interesting part was the margin expansion. The margin in the individual business was 13% this quarter. And as I have been mentioning before, we have a large operating leverage available in this business given the fact that there are fixed costs, and we saw the benefit of that. So obviously the capacity utilization improved substantially. I just want to tell us all that last year at the same time, this business had just about begun to break even. So we've come a long way from there. And obviously it's been contributed both by India and China substantially. The other metrics in the individual business is enrollment, and what I would like to talk about is the career enrollment, which is what we have been tracking lately. The career enrollments were up 20% year-on-year, which is very substantial. Within which our flagship product, GNIIT, in fact the enrollment grew 84% year-on-year. The base is small, so the number may look, the percentage growth may look larger. The other redeeming feature in this quarter was the fact that the placements in our first 6 months exceed the total number that we did last year. And that talks about the demand for quality people. And the graduates of our industry-endorsed GNIIT curriculum have been very well accepted by the industry. And that is visible in the placement number. In the institutional business, we had a system-wide revenue of 287 and an operating margin of 10%. Essentially, low order intake and delays in new orders in institutional business is contributing to this. As you are aware, our Tamil Nadu contract got over end of last calendar, and since then we have received smaller orders, but not large enough to compensate to get the same growth rate. So we did get new contracts from Chhattisgarh, where actually 1,202 new schools have been added, and Tripura, small state and a small order as well. Overall in the institutional business, we had 356 million rupees of fresh order intake, and now we have a closing order book of 1,763 million 42% of which is executable in the next 12 months. In the corporate business, I mentioned that the net revenues have grown 15% year on year, and the operating margin has also improved a little bit, 18% this time on a year on year basis. Essentially, two kinds of wins, one in some of the Indian government contracts. There was one significant one for smart governance from Indian government. And the second part, which is interesting, which I mentioned to you about increased demand for e-learning, we have four multi-year hosted e-learning solutions contracts. The good news in this is that they give us a certain degree of visibility of revenue in the coming years as well, and give us an annuity-based revenue stream. Even though it's very small, but it's relevant because we a four-year revenue stream is something, a multi-year revenue stream is something which we would like to see more and more of. The order intake was $9.7 million in this quarter. Our pending order book is now at $22.58 million, 67% executable over the next 12 months. Overall, in headcount, we had a very small addition, net addition of 31 people. Our total headcount was at 1995 at the end of the quarter. Some balance sheet items. Our cash position has improved this quarter, including the net cash position. So our cash position at the end of the quarter was 933 million from 865 million last quarter. We did have some additional loans which we took from the credit line that we had secured a few quarters ago, some of which have gone for the development of our new Center of Excellence in Gurgaon, which we have talked about before. And the second part was the fact that our operating cash improved this this quarter, and the net cash at the end of the quarter is 52 million rupees compared to 44 million last quarter. We had a very small asset addition of 44 million rupees in assets. Our return on capital employed has improved to 15%. Debt equity ratio is at 0.33. So these were the significant numbers and trends that we saw in last quarter. What I would like to do is to open the call now for question and answer. Parimala?
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, I would like to hand over the proceedings to Zainab to conduct the Q&A for participants connected to Saintel. After this, we will have a Q&A session for participants at India Bridge. Thank you, and over to Zainab.
Thank you, Parimala. We will now begin the Q&A session for participants connected to the Saintel Bridge. Please press 01 to ask a question. Once again, please press 01 to ask a question. At this moment, there are no questions from participants at Saintel. I would like to hand over the proceedings back to Parimala. Over to you, Parimala.
Thank you, Zainab. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session for India participants. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. First in line, we have Mr. Saurabh from Kotak. Over to you, sir.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, congrats on a good set of numbers. This is Deepen from Kotak PMS.
Thank you.
Just had a couple of things. First of all, the India individual business this quarter, we saw a 20% growth over previous year's quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to understand whether this could kind of growth could be a sustainable thing. We believe that a higher part of the growth has come in from the international business. But going forward, could this be a sustainable kind of a growth rate, or were there some, would there be some reduction going forward?
I think this is over a period of time is the kind of growth rate that we will see. I don't think it is sustainable every quarter right now because the patterns are changing and it depends on the initiatives we take in a particular quarter. So overall, we have explained that the growth rate will accelerate as we go on as a product mix, and that direction will remain. But I think it will be wrong to assume that every quarter it will be beyond 20%.
Okay. And in the same line, like the corporate business, this quarter we saw that it had a higher growth on a Q&Q basis. That is the second quarter versus the first quarter. We saw a significant rise. What would be the reasons attributable to that in this quarter?
While corporate business is not as seasonal as normal as the individual business, but typically even in this quarter, we normally have a better business given the fact that this is summer in most of the world. And I think there are a lot of conferences and training programs that people talk about. So we do see a higher activity in this quarter.
Okay. Right. And once again, at the cost of repetition, I believe you have said that the current quarter margins could be sustainable. Am I right in understanding that the current quarter margins operating level is 14.9%? Would that be a sustainable margin going forward?
First of all, the current quarter's overall margins are 14.1, not 14.9.
Okay.
I wish it was.
Okay.
And we'll work towards trying to do that one of these days.
Uh-huh.
The second thing which I want to say is that we have given a guidance at the beginning of the year that for the year we expect the margins to be a couple of 100 to 200 basis points better than the previous year.
Right.
So it should be in the 13 to 14% at the end of the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also must point out that the margins do dip in the next quarter, coming quarter, because that is the weakest quarter.
Okay.
So the one which you saw was a peak quarter.
Okay.
Correct. So overall, we feel that the annual margins, we would be able to match the guidance that we gave.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deepen. Next in line, we have Mr. Deepen Mehta from Deepen Mehta Shares and Stock Brokers. Over to you, sir.
So congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I had a few questions. So in Q1 conference call and even for the March quarter conference call, you were quite hopeful that you would have around 15% growth in the top line. The first two quarters of this fiscal, we've seen a top line growth of around 12%. So what is your expectation of top line growth for the next 6 months?
Let me remind you of the guidance that we had given. Last whole year, we had an 11% top line growth. And we had said that we are looking for a top line growth between 11 to 15% in this year. Right now we are at 12% year-on-year basis, and we do believe that next two quarters, since the denominator will be small, it may be possible to get slightly better growth than that, but overall we would like to retain the guidance of 11 to 15%.
It's a wide margin. I was just hoping that maybe, you know, it's only 6 months to go, if you could, you know, kind of narrow it for us, because I think you are at the lower end of 11 to 15% at shade less than 12%.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you that we are on the lower end of 11 to 15 at 12%. And our focus has also been more on margins, as you can see, because in margins we have already reached where we wanted to reach. So we would like to see a higher growth in top line, but one of the issues which is coming in the way is a slightly slower institutional order book. And the reason for that is in many states where they have requirements, they are unable to go ahead with many of those requirements because of political uncertainties and, you know, elections and re-elections and stuff like that. So institutional order intake is slower institutional order intake is contributing to us, to our being on the lower side, but we are trying to make up for it by growing the other side slightly better.
So
if the institutional side improves, then yes, it is possible to do that.
Okay. Okay, but do you see any visible signs of that in terms of order intake, or you're still waiting for even the orders to come in from the institutional side?
Well, we did see some new orders, Chhattisgarh and Tripura. Tripura is too small to have any material impact, but Chhattisgarh is yet in implementation. But we do not have any of the mega-sized orders which we used to earlier have. I mean, just look at Chhattisgarh, it's about one-fifth the size of Tamil Nadu that we just finished executing 2 quarters ago. So we do believe some of the larger states have to move. We must also realize that at this stage, even if a state gets into an order, that not too much of revenue can be clocked in this year because of that. So we have to look for orders which will kind of give us both revenue as well as the order intake at slightly less lead times.
Well, over the past nearly 2 years or so, we've seen, at least within the larger players, a lot of consolidation. I think SSI and Aptech now have got combined, and even what we gather from the marketplace is that a lot of small players seem to also have shut shop. So if you could give an overview of the competitive landscape in India, especially because that market per se is your largest market, and you do have a dominant position here. So has this consolidation helped in terms of better pricing power? Of course, volume growth and market shares have improved, but in terms of pricing power specifically?
Yes, it has given us a lot of benefit, and we believe we have contributed to some of the happenings in the marketplace through some aggressive measures that we took. I would like to remind all of us that while I think the market was going down at that time, we made some very aggressive investments in launching new products as well as some aggressive marketing campaigns, which helped us destabilize competition to quite an extent. And I think today we have a much better market share, much stronger and much larger market share than before. The competitive landscape now is in the market is that I think there are, in terms of large-scale players, if I was to say, if I was to use the analogy of IT services, then I think there is only one tier-one player. I would say there are two tier-one players left in the country. One is NIT and the second is the formal sector, because I would like to put that formal sector together into a single player. Tier 2, yes, there is a little bit of a cluster there with 2 or 3, and I'm not saying this in an arrogant way, but I'm just saying in relative sizes. And then there is a very massively fragmented market. What actually BPO training and some of the high technology training has done is it has created small-time entrepreneurs who are able to just kind of service with maybe one or two centers, their nearby localities, and try to run a business. So the market has got more fragmented. Even in the international front, in the individual business, the leading players whose names used to be heard often are not in good shape. And without naming them, I would like to say that many of them are struggling to survive. So, in a sense, after the economic downturn, the individual marketplace has got fragmented, which creates a very good opportunity for organized sector to come in. And I think NIT is taking advantage of that on one hand. On the other hand, I think a lot of investment has gone in the formal sector. And a lot of engineering colleges, and my favorite statistics of 60,000 engineering seats to now, which has become 474,000 this year, engineering seats, is the formal sector which has kind of emerged. So those are, that is the, I think, competitive market scenario. Rajiv, you would like to comment anything on it?
I guess it just seen from the brand perception viewpoint, and also what's being talked about in the market, there is now our brand is getting a lot more attention and also reference, and it was a bit cluttered a few years ago, the market. So I think the brand shines out now very easily as a very superior brand. So that's reflecting into a market share improvement on its own without, you know,
Sir, also I have noticed that at least in this quarter, we seem to have stepped up our advertising spend. That could just, you know, if you are disclosing the amount you spent on advertising this quarter and how that has moved over Q1, that's quarter over quarter and year over year, just ad spend.
Yeah, see, the ad spend has to do with when the customer is in the right frame of mind to make the decision. So in this quarter is the time when people make their decisions of having either first selected the college and then deciding to join the GNIIT, or sometimes now even joining the GNIIT and then deciding to see which college they would like to go along with. So what we wanted to do this quarter specifically, and actually we had a very strong demand and requirement from our employer base saying that they would like to see a higher class 12 percentage in the NIIT students. And we actually took that on as a key performance area for our businesses, where we said we want the brighter students to come for IT industry, because now students have many, many more career choices, you know, with banking and financial services industry opening up, your own services industry opening up. There are many more career choices, and we wanted the brighter students to come in. So a lot of our focus was to attract the brighter students. This is the quarter in which we have our peak spend, and that is in line with what we have done in previous years.
So what would be the ad spend for
the main? I don't think we disclose that as a statistic.
And so one last question relates to this new buzzword, KPO, knowledge process outsourcing. Does our company stand to benefit from that wave of outsourcing as and when that takes place? I think it's in the nascent stage.
Yeah.
And I think I have even, I'm maybe mistaken, but I think you being quoted in the media that it's an emerging area. So if you could just comment a little bit on what the opportunity means for NIIT.
Yeah. Well, once again, I don't want to say we said it before, but, or we told you so. I think when the whole market was talking about where is the call center training and where is the BPO training, and we used to talk about the fact that that has a limited scope because individuals are not considering BPO, where BPO is equal to call center, to be a career. It's more like a hobby and more like an part-time work which you can do alongside and make some extra bucks. And that's what is visible in their high attrition rates as well. KPO, on the other hand, is more stable and has a possibility of a career. It is also an industry in which we can play a much stronger role because we can do a lot of knowledge value add with our background in training and tech support. For example, in a BPO setup is a very clear example of KPO, of knowledge process outsourcing. So what are you doing? You are actually making sure that the technology knowledge on a particular subject is being made available as a service to your consumers worldwide. So that's a good example to tell you that we would and are benefiting from KPO.
My question was whether we would actually get into KPO or would we restrict ourselves to training resources or manpower for companies who in turn want to specialize in KPO. What is our strategy? I mean, are we doing both or...
NIIT Limited's focus is to be in training and education and training related businesses. And therefore we would train people who would service, who would become a part of the KPO industry. Having said that, one of the KPOs is training itself, where people are outsourcing their training. For example, a university outsources their education delivery. That's a KPO. NIIT is already doing that. The second is an organization may outsource its complete internal training to somebody. That's also a KPO. So KPO is a generic term. So I think we would work on both, service the KPO industry in terms of providing them with quality manpower and quality people, and secondly, participate in the KPO called learning and training.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mehta. Next in line, we have Mr. Ashwin Agarwal from Akash Ganga Investments. Over to you, sir.
Congratulations to the NIT management team on a good set of numbers, particularly on the India retail business. Could you fill us in on the university progress?
Thank you, Ashwin. I would ask Mr. Pawar to comment on that.
We had mentioned last time that we were in discussions with the government. So those discussions are progressing well. We also mentioned that we've identified a site and we have moved ahead on completing the transaction regarding the site. So that part is progressing, but as I should mention that that is done by an independent entity, which is a society. So NIIT's role in that is to promote that society, and then the society then has to take the idea forward.
Is this site near Delhi?
It's in the neighborhood of Delhi. It's okay. In the NCR region.
Okay. So by when do you feel you would have all the permissions in place to start operations?
I wish I knew the exact date, but because this is government procedures and I think there has been a reasonable amount of controversy on higher education, but our discussions are very, I think, going very well. So it's difficult for us to put a date. I would like to do it tomorrow if I could, but I think it has to go through a series of steps in various departments. But all that I can say is that all our discussions are going well. And the concerned team has put the plans together quite nicely.
That's good. My second question was, since the management aspires to be the number one in training globally, are we looking at, other than India, China, any acquisition possibilities or to reach that quicker?
Yes, we are looking at them fairly. Earlier we used to say that we are looking at them in a speculative or opportunistic manner, but now we are very closely looking at some of the geographical gaps we have as well as strategy gaps that we have, and we are actively looking at pursuing some inorganic growth strategy as well.
Lastly, Vijay, you mentioned that the delays in the institutional side of the business, if you do not get in next 2 quarters, do you feel your business plans, internal business plans for FY07 could change?
Well, if the dry spell is very long, then yes, it may have an impact on 07, but I think right now the good news is that the other side of the other two businesses are going better than what we had thought of. So they are compensating to a large extent. But we don't believe that that dry spell could be there for as long as that.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you, Ashwin.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal. Next in line, we have Mr. Rahul Desai from Deutsche Bank. Over to you, sir.
Hi, this is Supratim. Can you hear me?
Hi, Supratim. How are you?
Vijay, I'm fine. Thanks very much. This quarter's numbers, I just wanted to discuss a little bit more on the India, or rather on the individual side.
Mm-hmm.
The year-on-year growth on individual revenues has tracked up very nicely to 27%. But where is the operating leverage? Why have costs gone up at the same time?
Well, the operating profit, the operating margin has improved to 13%.
No, that's on the company as a whole, right?
No, I'm talking of the individual business.
Yeah, okay, I'm using gross revenue number, gross numbers here.
So no, see, what you have to do is, the gross revenue number does not help you determine the profit. For that, you should use the net revenue number. So, net revenue number is 505 million for this business.
Sure.
And we have an operating margin of 13%.
Right.
67. And I think that tracks well with our operating leverage. In fact, I mentioned it.
Okay, now here's the question, right? You had a cost base of $359 million in the last quarter, excluding all the franchisee payouts, and that's gone up to $438. So is this just plain, I mean, is the difference just advertising, or is there increase?
Well, obviously there will be difference in advertising, as well as there will be a difference in the variable cost associated with that.
Okay, that's
it will add up. If you like, we can take you through that offline.
Okay. And then if on the individual side, if you could kind of split it up between in what's the India revenues and then the China revenues, and the balance could be the other geographies.
I can only give you China right now because I have it. That is 13% of system-wide.
Okay.
But I don't have the India and other system.
And if I remember correctly, you said that the China revenues grew faster compared to the total
India
number.
Yes, 24%. No, same, approximately, 24%.
Okay, if China grew 24% and the total revenues grew 27%, then India must have grown at a faster rate.
No, India actually grew less. It's the rest of the world, which was a small number, but grew faster.
Okay, and is there any geography in there which looks particularly appealing or which could end up contributing more?
Well, there are two geographies which are doing very well, and one of them did exceptionally well, which was Nigeria, and the second is Vietnam.
Okay, and then one question on the institutional business side. You've got an order book of 1.76 billion rupees, of which 42% is executable in the next 12 months.
Yes.
Now, is this executable evenly or is it staggered?
It would actually be a seesaw because it depends on what is going to happen in each contract when. Raju, would you like to comment on this?
No, it's uniform. Yeah.
No, there
are two things. One is, like Vijay said, we have the Chhattisgarh order which has come. Its revenues will start flowing from the next quarter. On the other side, over a period of time, there will be contracts which will be closing. So to that extent, there will be a dip in the revenue, which has to be compensated by new contracts coming in. So to that, though we are trying to do this uniformity part here, but it tends to be based on contracts coming in and going.
Okay. And then finally, on the margin side, you said that you expect full year margins to remain between 13% to 14%, which basically extrapolates to you being able to maintain the margins at least around 13.5% for the next two quarters. Given that these are much weaker quarters, is that, you know, where is that going to come from?
Yeah, next quarter is a weak quarter. The last quarter, if you remember, even the last year turned out to be a very good quarter because that's the year-end phenomenon. And government buying and government purchasing contributes to a little bit of that as well. Not only that, that's also a quarter where another term, new term starts in China. So those two contribute. So we do believe that between the two quarters, yes, we would have to, that's the simple arithmetic, that between the two quarters we would have to maintain the same margin that we have done for it to remain the same over the year.
Right, okay.
But it may not be that in the next quarter itself it will be that much. It may be less in the next quarter and a little more in the following.
Sure.
Or it depends on actually the product mix. Product mix will decide that.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much, Vijay, and good luck, guys.
Thank you, Supratim.
Thank you, Mr. Basu. Next in line, we have Mr. Alok Agarwal, an individual investor. Over to you, sir.
Hi, Vijay. This is Alok here.
Hi, Alok. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. My question is more broader. Like, we have seen the operating leverage in the individual business. I mean, somewhat now reflecting here. From -1% to 13%. So how many quarters do you see when 13 moves to 30?
Okay. Many.
How many? That's what I'm asking.
In my opinion, operating leverage is...
I think the stable operating margin, which we have been talking about to reach... See, one quarter's operating margin should not be construed to mean the operating margin for forever. The reason is that's the peak quarter that we had. The important question which is to be looked at is that on an annual basis, our margins in steady state should be between 20 to 25% in this business, when our capacity utilization would be between 65 to 75%. Because when you are in 65 to 75%, you have two choices, either to take your capacity utilization up and contribute to margins, or grow your capacity. We have 6 million people on Mother Earth. We are hardly servicing a fraction of that. So that's how we plan our growth. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always say that in steady state, our margins will be between 20 to 25%.
Okay, Vijay, but looking at the market, as you rightly said, and the traction we are seeing in the IT services industry, and China, I would rather say, and IT doing well, but not as well as compared to the competitor, which is going at 100%, which is from India. I think possibly there's a scope out there as well as to increase the rate of growth. I think 20 to 25, how many quarters of, let's say, FY08, FY09, is that possible?
I think competition in China is weakening, I would tend to feel, in a certain sense. But at the same time, we must know that there we are pitched against a local entity, and we are the outsiders, and therefore we have a little uphill climb. But we do believe that some of our newer strategies should enable us to accelerate. Another thing which I would like to say is China market is a market in flux, where big things can happen at very short notice, and big things can disappear at very short notice. Mm-hmm. So one has to be very, very watchful. It is a very small part of our total business today, but we do believe that over a period of time, it should play a significant role.
I mean, do you see China becoming, let's say, some point of time, as big a market as India as of now?
I mean, theoretically, absolutely true. With their desire to be part of the IT outsourcing industry, definitely true. It depends on what government regulations come up. When do they decide to put clamp it closed for outsiders to come in, or what new policies they come in. But theoretically, absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. We have a last question on this individual business, 65 to 75. When do you see that happening?
Which 65?
I mean the capacity utilization in individual business.
Oh, okay. Well, it can happen very quickly if we reduce the number of centers. But if we were to continue the same centers and grow, which we are now adding more centers, we do believe that in the next 18 to 24 months, we should be at that level.
Okay. That's on the individual business. On the institutional front, I mean, like even bigger states like UP or Madhya Pradesh, I mean, with Tamil Nadu going, do you think this state like UP will wake up and try to give some big orders some point of time down the line?
See, I can't say about UP specifically, but yes, bigger states and some of the bigger states like Gujarat, Madhya Pradesh, these states have been more than willing to look at it. But, you know, they have had so many changes of chief ministers and uncertainties happening there, that some of these projects are delayed. The second thing which I want to say is there is the Sarva Shiksha Abhiyan, mm-hmm. 5,000 crores of rupees,
right,
which has to be spent. And I'm sure a lot of it will be spent for other activities and primary education and other things. But I think a portion of that is available for IT education. Is that right, Pawar, Mr. Pawar?
Yes, they are beginning to spend somewhat. They're trying to find a method to structure that. So I think they want to use more and more on technology. So we want to find ways to access it.
And one last thing on the university front. I mean, the scheme of things, as far as NIT is concerned, which is directly for the shareholders and society as a separate entity, how these two are going to work together as such so that some kind of money can flow to the shareholders of NIT Limited?
Yeah, I think Raji would answer that.
Yeah, I think the...
There is some disturbance.
Mr. Agarwal, line is just muted. Let me check again.
Yeah.
Mr. Agarwal? Okay. Sir, he got disconnected actually. He was coming from his line.
Okay. So, when he gets back, we can...
Yeah. I'll take up next question. Mr. Manoj Singla from JP Morgan. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations to the management on the recent quarter. My first question actually relates to the number of centers, and I see a significant increase this quarter after the remaining flat, and I thought the strategy was to consolidate across centers. Can you just explain that?
Yeah, actually we are now, this number of centers statistic, we have mentioned this before, I'm glad you asked me this question, are three types of centers. There is our own centers, then there are business partner owned centers, and then there are what we call the school delivery points, where some schools, a lot of them actually, also act as education centers post the school hours, but otherwise they should be serviced the school children to those centers. So the 1,089 new schools which got added because of Chhattisgarh got operational is the new centers. Actually, there are some more which part of that order which are still to be added. So that's what contributed to it. I think you are referring to the business partner and our own centers. There, actually, there was a net reduction of a few, but addition in capacity because we added 18 new centers, which were a much larger capacity.
Is that correct?
Sure, sure. That explains it. The second question actually is, you referred in the beginning of the call regarding some seasonality in the corporate business. And obviously, I think all of us know about your individual business, when normally a December quarter is the weakest. Can you explain just in a little bit detail on the corporate and institutional side, which quarters are good and which quarters are bad, just because the classification has changed last quarter?
Okay. So, individual side, you understand completely. Institutional, it does not have a seasonality, but individual institution is dependent on how new order intake takes place. So if a new order intake takes place in last quarter, then in this quarter onward, you will see a revenue increase. Yeah, that's easy to understand. In the corporate business, the seasonality comes very little in two parts. One, in October, November, December, where a lot of our corporate business is in U.S., and in U.S., in October, November, December, a lot of training activity slows down. The reason is because people go on Thanksgiving holidays and Christmas holidays and stuff like that. Some part of that gets compensated because it's also fiscal year end for some people and people have to make some year closing decisions, but those normally do not affect us too much. They normally benefit the product companies because they can make a one-time sale. In our case, since it's mostly services, which is content development services or training delivery services or and hosted services, of course, remain constant because those are subscriptions people pay for the whole year. In the training delivery services, you would see a small reduction. So if one was to consider it like any other services business where there should be a steady quarter-on-quarter growth, in our case, you will see a small dip in October, November, December, and then that will kind of get made up in Jan, Feb, March. So overall, if you look at our first half and our second half, our first half would be typically a little better than our second half in the corporate business.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Singla. Next is a follow-up question from Mr. Rahul Desai of Deutsche Bank.
Yes, sir, Gautam again. On the China trading business side, we actually had one of your competitors in China talk to us recently. And what he was saying is that your pricing in that market is at a premium to where they are at. So is that actually a correct assessment? And do you intend to continue occupying a premium pricing position in that market?
I would like to be a little better educated on who that competition is.
That's offline.
So then my response will also be offline. I need to understand what premium pricing in what market.
Okay. And then the other thing again on the China market is that you're saying that you have the term, you had a new term starting in the fourth quarter. And is that as substantial as the gains that you would expect to get in the September quarter?
No. Typically, September quarter will be better. But there in the NIIT Insight model, where you have colleges, there are two enrollment points they have, one in September and one in March. So, but the September is, it's like saying, you know, you have semester starting in July in India, and then there are some colleges that start in January. But January colleges are much smaller in number. So that's the same, but there is a little spurt of activity you see in January, March.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Subhati.
Thank you, Mr. Basu. Mr. Agarwal, if you're back in call, please press star 1 to ask a question, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Agarwal.
Yeah, my question pertains to the university only. I think I missed that. I lost the connection. Mr. Pawar was trying to answer that. If you can do that again, please. Thanks.
No. We came to know that you got disconnected, so we didn't go ahead with answering the question. So now Mr. Pawar will answer the question.
Yeah, so as you are aware, even now, NIIT is engaged in interaction with about 60 universities worldwide in some form or the other. We have a relationship of credit transfer, of student transfer, and so on. Now, so at one level, the idea is to construct a similar relationship with an institution which will be an institution of excellence, which will create a lot of new knowledge, and in a similar kind of relationship which we have with some universities in UK or the US, we want to build a relationship, but obviously we would be in a position to harmonize given that it's the Indian market, it's the Indian situation, and so on and so forth. So I think it will be a relationship where we would reinforce the capabilities of each other through an arm's length relationship. So it's a question of looking at, for example, research-related work happening at the university and vocationalization kind of work happening in NIIT and harmonizing it so that they do excellence in their own spheres, but they help the overall activity, and therefore that's the way we expect to derive value. So in the early phases, we create value for the university out of our brand experience and understanding, and going forward as they build their own capability and competence and intellectual property, we expect two-way movement.
Mm-hmm. So my related question is going to be like, is it this university is going to be, let's say, like a IT engineering college or a IT IIT? What's going to be the model?
Well, we don't have too much time for detail, but let me summarize and say there's going to be a research university. It's going to do PhD and master's first, mm-hmm. and therefore be a creator of technology in the knowledge space. That's the key focus of the university, and that's how the two are differentiated. And that's how the two will reinforce.
Thank you. That's it. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal. Next in line, we have Mr. Hitesh Shah from ABN AMRO. Over to you, sir.
Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. I was just had a few questions. First, related to your institutional business, you said that whenever you have an order booking the very next quarter, the revenue would be much better. But if you look at the current quarter, last quarter we had a new order booking of 503 million rupees, but this quarter was still did not do so well. I was trying to understand what went into it.
Yeah, thank you, Ritesh. Yes, obviously the order intake will contribute a part of the revenue, but we also have some orders which are closing. As you know, these are multi-year contracts, and some of the multi-year contracts like Tamil Nadu closed, and the new orders should be making up for that much, revenue stream going away, and it obviously did not make up as much, and that's why you see the difference.
All right. And just how many centers were there in India individual? Last quarter we had 548, of which 46 were NIIT operated.
I think your number, let me just give you the exact number.
Yeah.
I'll give you the exact number. If you have another question, go ahead.
Yeah. We've been speaking about the capacity utilization.
Yes.
Last quarter, we had something around 38-39%.
Yes.
What was the same for this quarter?
It would be more like 50%, around 50% this quarter.
Okay. And this was more because of the capacity rationalization as well?
No, capacity rationalization was very little actually. The total number of education centers we have this quarter are 531.
Okay. And of which, how many were IT operated?
46.
46. And you said my last quarter numbers were a little off. What were the corresponding numbers?
No, your last quarter number were 548 and 47. Is that what it was?
548 and 46.
46. Yeah, correct. You are correct.
Okay, right. So the capacity utilization, you said 18 new centers were added and like few were closed down, right?
Yeah, we added 18 new centers.
Okay.
But I think smaller centers, about 30-35 of them,
okay,
their terms would have expired and we would have renewed. But those were very, those were small. I think our overall capacity has increased marginally this quarter.
Alright. Also,
35 were not renewed, and 18 new have been added. The new ones are much more than the more capacity than 35 blocks. I can give you the exact capacity increase separately unless you have it somewhere. If you can ask me the next question, I'll just give you that answer.
Sure. Under the corporate business, we have been always...
Utilization. Yes, sorry.
Under the corporate business, we have been running on a very thin order book, maybe around few quarters of our quarterly run rate. I was wondering, is that we get on very smaller transaction-based orders and we execute it immediately, or what kind of an... what is the proportion of an annuity-based order and transaction orders here in corporate business?
A large part of our business in corporate is transaction-based orders. I mentioned to you that we got 4 hosted e-learning assigned with multi-year engagements. Those are multi-year contracts, but since they are not for a fixed value, we cannot take that into our order intake straight away. Not all of them. Some you can because there is a minimum commitment.
Alright. Yeah.
One moment. I was going to give you... Yeah, overall our seat capacity... Yeah, increased... Yeah, over first quarter by 2%. Positive.
Okay. Also, like last quarter, you gave a breakup of manpower between those working on in your corporate business and those in S&M and indirect manpower. Can we have that for this quarter?
Yes, we would have. We have 1268 in the direct, and S&M were 310, and indirect were 417.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you, Desh. All the best to you.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Next in line, we have Sonal from AIM Capital. Over to you.
Hello. Congratulations to the management on good numbers. A couple of queries. You mentioned that currently you are running at 50% capacity utilization.
Around 50, yeah.
Now, going forward, we in a steady state, we are talking about 65% capacity utilization. Is that for the year or for the best quarter we are talking about?
I would tend to feel that that will be for the year, and in the best quarter it may go up a little,
okay,
which is what we should reach in 18 to 24 months.
So typically in a good quarter you could go as high as 75% kind of, 80% kind of thing.
80% normally means that you are sending people back, because then you are not giving all the choices to the student.
Okay, but isn't your business a little seasonal in nature, especially as December quarter is on the low side?
Yeah. So not little seasonal, it's very seasonal.
So, I mean, if on the average you are doing 65%, then...
No, average is 65, then you can swing between 55 and 75, no?
Okay. And going forward, we are talking about 65% growth rate. What is the kind of capacity increase are we talking about 24 months in?
I do not have any numbers to suggest right now.
Okay. And in terms of the growth going
forward, I also want to tell you that 65 is not a targeted number.
Okay.
But I was responding to Alok's question saying, when do you think we will be able to see 65 to 75% capacity utilization? And my response was 18 to 24 months from now. We should be in a steady state, and I was therefore referring to a steady state. Saying in a steady state, when things are happening well and no tsunamis and 9/11s are happening elsewhere in the world, and life is going steadily, then that's where we would like to operate, which is what we used to do for 9-10 years before the bad times came.
Right. So going forward, would your capacity expansion be led by your own center or by franchisee center?
At this time, we have been putting up own centers in the previous quarters. Last quarter specifically, we added business partner centers because we do want to make sure that in strategic hubs, we create our own capacity, because that becomes a proof of concept. The business partner community had a very bad time in the time when economic downturn happened. So we wanted to be in a commanding position rather than in a position to go and sell them the idea. So you can see that there is a momentum which is building up, but we are very cautious in adding more capacity because we do not want we want a very high success rate. And at this point of time, we would like to create institutions which would last for generations rather than institutes which can close down after 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. So that's a very important strategic direction from our side.
In terms of university plans, are you going for a deemed university kind of setup?
That is one of the options.
Okay. And in terms of universities, are you going for a central university or you have applied for some universities in Madhya Pradesh also?
In Madhya Pradesh, actually the Madhya Pradesh Assembly had passed the bill for an NIT university. But then after that, so many court rulings and various other things have changed and have happened that is in suspended, that is kind of in pending status. So we are in touch with on a number of fronts with state and center, and we're looking for the best option for us.
So there are a couple of states where you are trying for a university kind of
option. We have been in discussion with a number of states. A number of states have been approaching us as well.
Okay. And in terms of your China revenues, at net level, what kind of revenues would you have drawn in the last 6 months from China?
I would not have that number. Would you have it? Yes. We do not have that cut right now. And I do not think we track that as a statistic in our investor number.
Okay. And in terms of your tax rate, because some of the tax shelters are going to be gone once you reach to a steady state. So what kind of tax rate do you think you would be having in 07? Would the buffer be still there?
Well, right now the buffer is there, and I think in 06, 07 we will carry forward a large part of that. The point is FPT does not allow any buffer. FPT is irrespective of that. And MAT, so next year it will be safe to assume that we would have FPT, we will have MAT, and we may have a small taxation, maybe a couple of percentage points above MAT, isn't it?
And in terms of, again, coming back to your central university plan, would it be a UGC kind of funded university kind of setup or along with NIT? Or would it be entirely funded by NIT and that kind of setup?
Okay. First, the university will fund itself. Obviously, it has to receive some funds from somewhere, which could be loan funds, which could be corpuses, which it may receive. We are not looking to have any state or center supported, financially supported university. That will not fit into our game plan because that does not give you any degrees of freedom.
Okay. And what kind of debt level and cash would you be having on the books now?
Right now, yeah, we have 933 million rupees of cash, and our debt at this point of time, secured and unsecured, is 881. Okay.
This includes the Intel convertible portion also?
Very right. It includes the FCC.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Dheeraj Pachpe from HSBC Mutual Fund. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I just wanted to know, are you witnessing an environment where the average realization per student is also improving because of shift to long-term courses or career-conscious courses?
Actually, there are two trends. One trend is for us is for we have more enrollment for longer term courses, but actually if you go by student needs, the larger number in volume are coming for shorter term courses because the attention spans have reduced, patience spans have reduced, and reskilling and retraining is increasing. So those are contributing to shorter term courses actually in much larger quantity.
Okay.
Within the career segment.
And in terms of pricing, do you think the pricing power is back? Are you able to raise your prices for flagship course like GNIIT, or would you like to wait for capacity utilization to fill up more before you start thinking about raising prices?
No, see, from our point of view, the raising prices is a three-pronged decision. To start with, it's a value decision. What is the value which the student gets at the end? And the value that we look at the student getting is an NPV of his future earnings based on the starting salaries that he gets. The second decision is competition, depending on in the competitive environment where we are. Today, our largest competition is formal sector. Okay. The third is the capacity related and the commercial decision of saying, now that we have a stronger position in the little space in which we have, can we increase the salary? So it's a mix of all these three. We are noticing that our overall realizations are improving, and what we are able to get from every student is increasing, as well as what every student on an average pays for an hour of NIT instruction is improving.
Fine. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chachkar. Next in line, we have Mr. Manoj Rao from Parag Parekh Finance. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on the very good numbers. I need you to help with something. Like you said, that the India individual business will shadow the IT services growth, right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, shadow or lead, whichever way.
Right. So I was trying to understand that, some of the, or actually most of the IT companies I have spoken to, none of them are actually hiring NIIT graduates for their software programming jobs. So I just wanted to know, what are the jobs that the employers are coming to hire for?
Okay, I just want to make one comment, and that is that if you add up the total number of people that work in the software services industry and subtract all the people who went through a formal IT education, which means got a computer science degree, then you would see nearly 60% of people unaccounted. So obviously these people came from somewhere. Now there are two reasons and two possibilities which organizations may like to say, and we don't like to confront them on this issue because they are the employers who give our people our jobs. It is for a number of competitive reasons sometimes, and sometimes it is a positioning issue, and sometimes it could be the fact that people join a user organization first and then they join the IT services organization. Okay, so all these three reasons contribute to this phenomenon. But what is very important is that we have, at any point of time, about, well, right now nearly 5,000 job openings from the same software services companies that some of which you referred to. I don't know which ones you referred to, though, but from the software service industry, which are unfilled right now. And we do place students in all, and when I say all, I mean all companies.
And these would be for software development
programming? It may be for a variety of roles. It may be for roles ranging from development. It may be for roles ranging from system administration, network. It may be testing. It may be technical support. It may be internal help desk. It may be all kinds of architects. All kinds of people get hired.
It's the same range from engineering college.
Yeah. It actually tracks very well, and now we have courses for engineering college students also. It is quite likely that when the guy gets placed, he gets placed because he was Vishveshwara College of Engineering student. But what gets forgotten is that he was also an NIT student. As far as we are concerned, it's an NIT placement because we placed him. And as far as the company is concerned, in their records, he may be a Vishveshwara College of Engineering student. So that may be as well.
And from the India individual business, from that, how many number of students will be non-engineers?
Will be not engineers?
Yeah, non-engineers.
Non-engineers. Okay, we track two segments. One is engineers and IT qualification. We bunch them together.
Okay,
and then we take non-engineers and others. Mm-hmm. Our majority of students today would be non-engineers.
Any percentage number, sir?
I can drop a number, but it may be, it's just a gut. I would say 85%.
Right. Okay. Sir, and the research lab that you're planning to have for the masters and the PhDs, would this be like a subsidized education research thing, or would you charge full market prices?
It's a self-funded activity.
All right. Thank you very much, and all the very best for this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Next in line, we have a follow-up question from Mr. Sonal of AIM Capital. Over to you, sir.
A couple of queries. What would be kind of capex you would require on the university front over the next 1 or 2 years?
The total funding for the university that we had shared with you over the 2 year period was about 60 crore. 3 year period, sorry.
This is for the Delhi Central University, not the state university.
No, this is for a university. We don't know whether it is a Delhi university or a state university or. You know, those are what we are attempting at.
So you may not go for, 2-3 universities tie up at the same time?
I need to clarify. We are talking about setting up a university. Right? As far as tie-ups are concerned, we have many tie-ups currently, and we will have more tie-ups as we go forward. But for setting up the university by itself, what is a university? University is an institution by itself.
Right.
That institution can get accreditation through a state government. It could get its accreditation through the central government. It could get accreditation through a foreign university or a local university collaboration. So all these are multiple ways by which this institution gets created. Why is it called a university? Because it has the powers to give a formal degree. Now, to give that power to a formal degree, you need one of these accreditations. And I'm using the word accreditation as a means of saying you need the permission of something, and you need a statute and a declaration and a notice which says that you can do so.
So in Madhya Pradesh, were you planning to go for a university or were you planning to go for a tie-up?
When I referred to the Madhya Pradesh story, I was referring to Madhya Pradesh asking or allowing NIIT to set up an NIIT university which will be in Madhya Pradesh and for which the state legislative assembly passed a bill.
Okay. So am I correct in understanding the 60 crore capex could be for a multiple of universities coming together?
My feeling is it is for one campus of university in which you can have multiple buildings and you can have, but it will be safe to assume that it is a single university instead of assuming it to be multiple universities.
Okay. And in terms of what kind of capex you have already incurred on the university, right?
The university has not incurred any capex so far. Because it has a small transit campus facility, but that is a very small facility. It's like a project office.
And for the operating expenses, because we understand for getting any deemed university permission, you need to hire a lot of PhDs and professors. So has it already been done or it's...
The university has a complement of people who are associated with the university. Okay. And yes. So it has the necessary qualifications.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that part is true.
Yeah.
In terms of your cash, now is 93 crores. Has the cash increased because your institutional business has decreased and hence the working capital requirement has...
That's a good one. Well, no, the cash has increased because the collections were better and also we took a part of the loan. On the other hand, the thing which decreased the cash was dividend payout last quarter and the assets which would have got added.
So there's no reason to believe that except for the capex, there's, the cash levels won't come down because of the change in the working capital once your institutional business picks up?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, any plans for, in case you've got an international acquisition opportunity, would you go for further raising of capital to finance that?
It depends on the acquisition opportunity. At this point of time, we don't have anything which we can say we need cash for.
And any development on stake sale of NIT Tech? Anything significant you expect over the next couple of quarters?
I do not think there has been any announcement from our side which says that the stake is on the block.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sunil. At this moment, I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Tarani for final remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Parimala, and thank you very much for very encouraging remarks by all of you and also very very good questions. As I often mention, I would once again like to repeat, we always go back with some new thoughts after we have finished answering your questions. Good news is I do not think we have a backlog of any answers. We've answered all the questions that we had to. So if you have any more comments or questions, we'll be very happy to receive them. Chetna is available 24/7 for any responses that you may need. And we look forward to your continued encouragement, cooperation, and guidance. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx Conferencing Service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a nice evening.